Happy Mother's Day to all mothers and all who take on the role as a mother. When we say we give voice to something, we understand in one way an audible, verbal expression, our thoughts at least in part, for others to hear. Then there is the voice of an author who chooses to use for her story a first-person or third-person expression, known or anonymous. We also know the voice crying in the wilderness, the one we are told to prepare for, the voice that calls us, the voice that heals us. We know also the spirit voice is that which speaks to us in Scripture. I hold two voices in tension today and can relate both of those to all I have listed above just a moment ago. A third voice, the spirit one, rises over both like a descant. Ever since my mother died 10 years ago this coming July, when I long to hear her voice, I can sit quietly with my eyes closed and can catch just a bit of it, faint as breath, as if it is carried on the wing of a small flying insect. This is the voice I want to hear when I feel the need to be encouraged, supported, and so very loved. My mother's voice was as an accomplished scholar, writer, and quilter. I wish I was more like her, and when I was a teenager, I'm sure she wished the same. I walked in a syncopated, feather-like flight that was often in contrast to her oh-so-measured 4-4 time. I grew to appreciate her sense of order and discipline, and she, my unusual creative points of view. As adults, we got along quite well. And yes, she did try to get me interested in quilting. I fought hard against that form, its precision, ordered motifs contained in boxes and strips. The idea of it chafed me to the very core. It's Mental Illness Awareness Month. This brings me to the other voice I hold in tension with the first, my father's. As a child, I remember that he was the loudest singer in church, and he couldn't sing in tune. But this didn't stop him from expressing a joyful noise. I giggled tremendously while at his side. I remember how he would laugh so heartily at the grade school papers I would give him to read, finding such delight in my efforts. He would strike out a full conversation with absolutely anyone in the grocery store, or anywhere else for that matter, like they were his long-lost friend. His voice now is very small, from the bed of hospice care. My father has bipolar disorder, some level of schizophrenia, and that voice also presented itself in my childhood home. The illness eroded my parents' marriage as my father, reluctant to manage his illness for reasons that both dwell in the illness itself and in the side effects of the medication for treatment. This had been a marriage that was at the beginning so wonderful they were the envy of their friends and family. My parents ultimately divorced after decades of difficulty. At one point, having been contacted by crisis services to meet them at my father's apartment, I heard my father having a full-out conversation with St. Paul from behind the locked door. Crisis services was responding to a call from a neighbor that he was raging well into the night. We would eventually get him to open the door, upon which point he was taken to the VA hospital for stabilization. Then the crash would come, and he would cry. I asked him once, "Daddy, what's it like when it starts? What do you hear? What's the voice?" He said, "It's like taking a step down a basement stair. Once I'm on the first step, I can only go down, and it's awfully, awfully dark there." About a term or so ago, my daughter had a rotation in her nursing school program in the psychiatric floor at Jefferson Hospital. In the class that corresponded to the rotation, the students were given headphones to wear during class. Transmitted over the headphones were messages in quiet voices that said things like, "You are nothing. You will always fail. No one will ever love you." The students were to try to listen to the lecture simultaneously to hearing those messages through the headphones as a way to understand the difficulty of schizophrenia. My daughter reported that one of her classmates left the room in tears for the strain of the experiment. We see in Scripture that the voices of others are often used to help us understand messages we need to hear to deepen and further our relationship with God. One of these voices is the cry of the unclean spirit in Mark 5, 1 through 20. We've read this recently, and it's worth another read. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had so often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, day and night, he was screaming among the tombs, in the mountains, gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up, bowed down before him, shouting with a loud voice. He said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The unclean spirit recognizes and literally voices Jesus, Son of the Most High God. The man then is healed, the demonic forces cast out into the swineherd. The man is then set on a broad place. Peace. Some men interpret the unclean spirit to mean mentally ill, even though there is distinction of the presence of demons included in the passage. If we follow and consider this line of thinking in terms of the mental illness capacity, we can easily see the reference to psychiatric hospitals of the 18th and 19th century, maybe even in the 20th century, where people afflicted with mental illness were subjected to chains, cast out to live where no one would have to see them, just as the Gerasene man was sent. Mental illness is such a painful disease for the people who suffer with it and those who love them witness it, often so powerless to do anything for them. I wonder, in part, if my mother's desire for order and measure didn't come as a result of her lack of control in her marriage and family when confronting my father's mental illness. I can say that I have turned to give voice to what my mother inspired by hoping, upon ordination, to start an art quilt ministry to benefit and tell the story of mental illness, human trafficking awareness, and homelessness. The spirit voice calls me to do this. I hope my mother would find delight in that idea. My thought is to use fabrics that would otherwise be thrown away and repurpose them into a new creation with a free form. As people of faith, what is or can be our response as Christians to these that are so afflicted? Can we comfort others with our efforts? Can we give voice to those who suffer with depression, just as Jesus gives voice to all through healing? Can we help their families? Can we insist on better care for those with mental illness in our communities, especially with our young adults who suffer with depression? We know too many deaths by suicide on the Rowan campus alone. There are parts of the psalm today that are not included in our reading. You have seen my affliction. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. This sounds like the cry of one suffering from mental illness, one longing for the saving help of Jesus to finally set that person on the broad place. I'd like to conclude today with a prayer on page 815 in the Book of Common Prayer, the prayer for the human family. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infects our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.